Different people have different ways in which they worship God, in which they find their path home. And so yoga has many different avenues, many different paths. But there are three basic paths: karma, jnana, and bhakti. And in karma yoga, it isn't simply to just do good deeds. Yes, that's important. But it is the ideation that is taken while doing deeds. If you think, I am the doer of this great and wonderful deed, I am such a noble and serviceful person, I have done all these many great projects, and you list them all, it still builds the sense of I, apart from everyone and everything else. It builds the illusion of ego that is the very cause of suffering. But if there is a sense, the divine, the God self, the one essence is embodied in this body and in the intention of service, the one is serving the living beings, and the one served is also the infinite one. The infinite Brahma is doing the service, receiving the service, and even the act of service is that one. So then, through this type of karma yoga, where this intention and ideation is taken, actions in the world become sweet actions, actions dedicated to God, actions which bring you closer to Parama Purusha. Those sweet actions dispel darkness because they are done with right thinking and right understanding. They bring you to a deeper understanding of your connectedness with all of life. So this is karma yoga. When you do deeds in the world, good deeds with good intentions, but also with the ideation that the infinite moves through you to serve the infinite. And even the service is of God. So it doesn't matter. Some may have great capacity. They can build massive monuments and do great works. And another may do just a small thing. But the value lies in the ideation, the intention that is taken in doing the action. The karma yoga is not determined by the greatness of the act, by the societal appreciation of the greatness of the act, but by the intention and way that the action is done. For when you feel the infinite Brahma moves through you, serves the infinite Brahma, is the service itself, then you begin to dissolve that sense of separateness and that sense of self-importance. Because it's that self-important ego that makes you alone, that makes pain, that makes you strive to make an impression on the world. So karma yoga is the method for dissolving that. And karma yoga dissolves the selfishness in the mind. It leaves you in service to living beings, but in a very special type of service, that acknowledges that the doer of all actions is the Infinite One. Ultimately, it is God, it is Paramapurusha who does all actions. And so this type of action brings you into truth, brings you into balance, makes your life in the world transformed. One who truly practices such karma yoga will begin to feel God is everywhere. God is in me. God is all around me. God is in the service being done. God is in the food eaten. God is in the sunshine, in the rain, in the pain and in the joy. God is everywhere. So through this type of karma yoga, the life becomes sweet, becomes blissful in true knowledge. The other path that is a great path is the path of jnana, the path of knowledge itself. In the path of jnana, in the path of knowledge, there is the capacity to distinguish, to know the to distinguish the unreal from the real, truth from illusion. When this approach is taken, the illusions of the mind are dropped, and one recognizes the non-duality of existence. This direct perception of the non-duality of existence, of Advaita Vedanta, of the path of jnana, brings the mind into right understanding. When applied to actions in the world, it is karma yoga. But when the mind is worked with in meditative practice, in contemplative practice, it is jnana yoga. And in the jnana yoga, this right understanding begins to settle into the mind. And the mind trained in right understanding perceives reality first by imposing an idea, but later by the very substance of the infinite non-dual nature of existence becomes the deep rooted understanding in the mind. But all jnana must move eventually from the mind to the heart. Without the heart, the full sense of your being cannot be immersed in truth. The path of bhakti directly addresses the heart. It is the path of love. Love for the Supreme. This path of the heart opens the feelings, the emotions, to the higher subtle emotions of love for the Divine. The bhakti begins to perceive that the Beloved, Divine Beloved, is everywhere in everyone. And in the heart, in the mind, in life, everywhere that Divine Beloved exists. There is nothing outside of the Beloved. And the bhakti becomes so immersed in that love that there is no distinguishment between I and thou, lover and beloved, lost in the dance of love, become one. So full is the heart of the bhakti. There is no room for anything but the beloved. And when the love of your life is all around you, in every person you meet, in the animals, in the trees, in the cells of your own body, in the sweet scent of the air, when the beloved is the world of form and is also the formless, where is there to go where the beloved does not exist? And in that state of complete rapture and love, the bhakti enjoys the sweet nectar of divine grace. So the mind, the heart, and the actions in the world are all immersed in this singular understanding, singular feeling, singular intention of action. And in that way, the yogas burn the sanskaras, the reactions from past experience that bind consciousness in limited beliefs of who and what you are. And when those limited beliefs and those emotional pockets get released, get dissolved into truth, into love, into being, then this freedom from these samskaras allows your consciousness to expand, allows you to be free, allows you to love truly and to live in truth. And this is the yoga, to yoke, to unite your small self and the great self. All right?